Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello geeks, welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and the Better Software Company. We've talked to so many social media and marketing and communications pros here on The Geek lately, but it's been a long time since we had a good discussion about internal communication. So I went to the best expert I know in my career on that subject. Her name is Gabby Nelson, and she's the global communications lead for HR at Cargill, the global powerhouse. Welcome to the show, Gabby.
Thank you for having me, Jack.
So let's dive into some internal communications in just a second, but give us a little bit of your background in communications and what you've been doing lately. What's your story?
I've been in this business for 20 plus years, which is just like shocking to me. Like, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm still 25.
In my head, you're still 25 and I'm still 30.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you. So I have, you know, I feel like I've had this really fun and unique and wonderful and just sort of step change career path. You know, I started an agency, Fleischman Weber Shandwick, doing consumer. I went to Sleep Number and, you know, ended up leading all of their communications, being sort of the chief communications officer for Sleep Number. And then Cargill came calling about 6 years ago. So I should back up. At Sleep Number, you know, anything communications related was under my auspice. So internal, you know, financial, crisis and issues management, social, you know, digital. I mean, I had my fingers in just about everything. So then Cargill came calling about 6 years ago. And I will just say I stepped into Cargill and I had no business being there.
You were definitely faking it till you were making it, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And you know, I was like the imposter syndrome was, you know, on high. But the beautiful thing is, you know, if you've got a learning mindset and you're eager and you have some experience with leaders under your belt and you give it your best, and you have some advocates and some sponsors, you'll be just fine. So I've been here for 6 years and I have done so many incredible things. You know, I led global communications for IT in the world of, you know, AI and automation and blockchain. And so, you know, I have this incredible like technology background. And then I said, hey, I'm ready for a new challenge. And about 6 months ago, they said, you know, we could really use somebody, you know, a strong leader for our HR leadership team. There's lots of things that they want to do about global inclusion and diversity, the state of talent, and we think that you'll just really help to move the needle on that. And so I was really honored to be asked to do that. So, but they're really, I feel like there's not a lot that I haven't done, except for maybe a little bit more on the government relations side.
Yeah, you don't want to go now, there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You grow up in that. You grow up in that.
Right.
So, you know, but yeah, I've been fortunate to do pretty much everything that you can possibly do in the realm of communication.
And I think I'm a little biased because, you know, we knew each other back in the quote unquote old days of public relations.
We did.
But, you know, I got to tell you, the people that we worked with back in those days, and I'm going to say, you know, going back 20 years, the people who were, you know, the young hotshots in PR now, I see so many people doing just like fantastic things in marketing and communications and technology stuff. And I think it all comes back to being a good writer and being able to put thoughts together in a concise and clear manner that has really translated into modern communications, you know, meaning whether it's social media or, you know, some other sort of internal digital communications back and forth. There's something about people who learn to write well at a very early point in their career that just translates into so many other things.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's the approach to like when you're a good writer, that's the output, but there's a whole like thought process is unique that you have like, okay, so, you know, who am I talking to? Where are they? How do I connect with them? How do I make this information meaningful for them? Like there's this whole sort of, you know, process that you have to go through before you, you know, have this really great output. So that's what I think is probably, because I agree with you, like that's table stakes. You need to be able to communicate well. And part of being able to communicate and write well and tell these stories are all of those other things that are up the stream that you have to be good at. And that's what I think makes us really unique as communicators. And it also, it translates into, you know, not just writing, but how we coach leaders and, you know, how we teach them to connect. So like that particular skill set has so many applications.
Yeah. And with all of the external communications you've done and public relations and some of the IT stuff, what is it about employee communications now that you really love?
You know, I love how you and I, before the podcast, were just kind of bantering back and forth about just where we were personally and what's meaningful for us. And so I really love the ethos of it. I love the stewardship of it. And I love being a warrior because that's what it takes to be in internal communications. I mean, there is this dedicated discipline attached to ensuring that employees are engaged. And there's so much information about what an engaged workforce can do from a productivity earnings, like that's been well proven. You know, if you're creating an environment where people feel well informed, they feel like they can actively shape a company's values, culture, they've got a say in social impact, which is so important. Mm-hmm. They feel like they can make a difference and contribute, and they can bring their whole selves to work every day, both psychologically and be psychologically and physically safe. Like, that is my job. That is what I'm here to do. So I love the ethos and the stewardship of it.
So doing internal communications for a company that has great leadership is a dream. Doing internal communications for a company that would have terrible leadership is a nightmare. Do I have that right?
Yes. And then you have to ask yourself, do I have the fortitude to try to change it?
Yeah.
Because that's where the warrior piece comes in. And, you know, I know you're going to ask me the question, like, what would I tell people who are looking at getting into this field? And I would say, you have to have a good, like, moral compass. You have to not want to compromise on your values, and you have to be okay with being a warrior. And there have been times when I've walked into, you know, the boardroom with C-level executives, and I've said to myself, I have to be willing to get fired right now. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm about to say is not, they're not going to want to hear this, but it's important that they hear it for our employees. So there have been a couple of times where I called my husband and I'm like, well, I might get fired today. He said, and you know what? I got to give him a lot of credit. He's like, you go, baby.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, because if you covered it all up and, you know, tried to put a little spin on it and change it just because someone in a powerful position didn't want to hear it, you're going to, you know, lose a little piece of yourself, and you're also doing the entire company and that executive a huge disservice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, transparency was this buzzword a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, maybe like 10 to 15 years ago. Transparency, transparency, transparency. It is, yes, I would say yes, and transparency now has moved to the next level. It's really about being vulnerable. And that is transparency on steroids to make a meaningful connection. And so, you know, hey, I can tell you everything that's going on as a leader, but if I tell you everything that's going on and I'm transparent about it, and then I tell you how I feel about it, and I'm open about my own insecurities about it, or I'm open about how I'm feeling, the employee sees themselves in that leader and vice versa, and they make a meaningful connection, and that builds trust. That is the commodity and that you want in an organization.
So trust is a big factor. Aside from losing that trust, what are some of the biggest challenges right now you see with any company, but especially a company as large as yours? You've 155,000 employees, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. You know, plus a little bit more than that, but yeah. Wow. And in 70 different countries.
Oh, great. this is getting, I'm getting exhausted by this. But the thing is with that, you call it internal communications.
Yeah.
There are a lot of brands out here who they don't have 155,000 customers, let alone employees.
Right.
So there is something, you know, it's still mass communications on some level when you're that large. So let's talk about some of the challenges with communicating with, you know, the size of a major city.
Yeah, I mean, there are unique aspects to that, right? So, but there are some similar ones too that I would say any company is sort of dealing with. So, you know, saturation.
Yeah.
That is and sort of antiquated saturation. You know, everything we communicate has equal weight. I'm just going to put it in an email and I'm going to send it out.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to check the box. So saturation, antiquated ways of communicating, cultural differences, those are huge. And just, you know, being very aware of how things are taken or perceived in different cultures. The diversity in our workforce. And I'm just talking about what people do every day. So we've got people in plants, we have people in the field, we've got people behind desks, we have people in call centers, you know, all over the world, time zones. So I cannot tell you how interesting that makes life when you're doing a town hall at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, like those are just some of the realities of the situation. And those can be solved with process or framework or good integration or technology. Like that's the stuff that, you know, we're just going to slog through and we're going to get through it and we're going to make things better. And I would say that a lot of those things are things people are dealing with right now. So those, that's just kind of the reality of the day to day. I think the bigger obstacle is going to be leadership, and especially that middle layer of leadership. And that role is changing. And, you know, it's going to impact, and it has impacted employee engagement. And, you know, our middle layer of leaders in particular, they're cultivating our most precious resource, which is talent and future talent. And so I talked a little bit about vulnerability and connection, which are just alien concepts to some people and in some cultures. You know, and going from transparency to vulnerability, and I'll give you an example in global IT. Vulnerability is not what I would say folks in the IT field are very good at.
Right.
That's a blanket statement, and I am going to apologize for being, you know, making blanket statements. But what we did in global IT was we took the top 170 leaders through something that we called storytelling training, but it was more like teaching them how to connect, teaching them to understand, you know, what it's like to sit in the chair opposite. Teaching them some components of critical conversations. You know, it was definitely an employee communications, approach, because we wanted them to tell a consistent story about what you know, what the global IT strategy was and what we needed to do for Cargill, but the way that we taught it was very empathetic. And we had some people get really emotional during the training, and they came back, you know, 6 months later, and they said, I am like really surprised. I took the time every time I was meeting with my team to think about, you know, the principles and what we talked about in storytelling training and the connections I'm making with my employees now and the uptick in engagement that I'm seeing is pretty profound. And I'm like, well, you know, that's one of the monikers of a really great company is humanity. So I was pretty pleased with that. So that I'm going to like put that in the win bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. What I think worked there is, you made them feel something with the stories that you yeah. were telling and having them tell.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know, preaching to them or selling them on an idea or putting some spin on it and telling them what to do. You know, you made them feel something about it. And that's what people remember. And that's what they take with them to work every day. So that's a great story. Love that.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the year 2020. It's coming up. Oh, it's many months away. We're about 60, 70 days away from the year 2020, folks. And what do you
see? That's mind blowing.
Yeah, right. And I'm also realizing, this is actually a new decade coming up in about a quarter. What do you see happening over the next year or so in the field of employee communications, internal communications, that we need to be thinking about and people listening should be planning for the coming year?
So I'll talk, I think there's some macro trends going on that are really important for, you know, internal and employee communications to be, folks to be aware of, because whatever's happening outside is definitely affecting the inside and vice versa. So it's really important to be, in touch with that. And I think there's what's interesting right now is this convergence that I just feel like there's this, we're at this inflection point, which I know is overused, but this convergence of we've got, you know, infighting in Washington, we've got climate this. I mean, it just feels like, whoa, right now. And there's this increasing importance of companies to drive social impact to stay competitive. Mm-hmm. Customers are asking for it. Even shareholders are asking for it. My mind was blown when the CEO roundtable in August came back and said, hey, it's not all about shareholder value anymore. Like, we need to be investing in employees. We need to be protecting the environment. We need to be fair with our suppliers. That blew me away. So that is a hallmark right there. And, you know, so customers and employees especially are demanding that companies be driving social change, and they're kind of struggling at it. You know, there's again some Deloitte information that talks about, you know, where CEOs' heads are at with social impact. They're like 80% are like, yeah, we need this. We have to be doing this. And then like the vast majority of those 80% are like, we don't know how.
Yeah.
Wait
a minute. It's going to cost how much?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and boy, you know, and so it's going to take even more din from customers and employees to say, like, we have to be doing this. And the younger generation is there. Like, their values and priorities are so much different than, you know, like the values of my generation. And they're saying, like, 26% of millennials say, fair treatment of employees is the most important value that they're looking for. Like that will spell company success. And it's even higher when they talk about diversity and social impact. So those numbers are huge. Like, I have to work for a company like that. So we have to create cultures that are like that. So what does that mean for internal comms? Well, we're the cultural catalyst. You know, we need to push leaders and companies in this direction, one interaction at a time. And I can give you another example, and then I can get into like, okay, here's some like everyday trends that we're starting to see. But So Justin Kershaw, I just adore this man. He is our CIO of Cargill. And it was really the height of the Me Too movement. And again, Cargill ethos and values around psychological and physical safety. And we had a big leadership briefing with top leaders in the company. And he said, you know, I really want to talk about the Me Too movement, but I am nervous about it. I am a 50 plus year old white guy. Like, what do I have to say about it?
Yeah.
And I know
how he feels.
And it's like, and so I had to be the confidence for him. That's the one interaction at a time. And I said, listen, it's going to be awkward. It's not going to feel great. But you have to do it because you're like, we have to do this as a company. This is what we stand for. And so he did it. He talked about it. I won't say it didn't feel a little awkward in the moment, but he came back about a week later and he said, you know what? I've had like 10 females come up to me who are in leadership positions and say, I can't tell you how much it means to me that you did that and how much you are creating a culture where it's okay to speak out about that stuff. It's okay to have awkward conversations about it. And it's okay to call out our biases when we see it and when behavior is wrong as well. And so, you know, I was like, you go, Justin, that's what I'm talking about. So that's sort of like, that's sort of the macro trends that are going on. Then you've got, you know, other trends, like on the execution side, more listening, less talking, more peer-to-peer conversations, using technology and data and analytics in particular. Like if I could get a data scientist on my team right now, I would love it. So that's what I'm pushing for. And more democratic content. So content that isn't created by communicators, but curated by communicators. And that's the most authentic content. Yeah. And then this idea of the consumer grade experience, which I would say every company needs to improve on. I haven't seen a company that has a consumer grade employee experience where, you know, how I interact with companies is and how the high quality experience I have with them is the same sort of experience I have at work. It's tougher to get things done at work than it is to get things done as a consumer. So that's something absolutely. That we have to change.
You know, kind of wrapping all of that up, the idea of you know, moving the company forward with you know, all of these things that bring a quality of life to the employees and the company and everyone.
Absolutely.
It's not just the right thing to do. It's also the smart thing to do. And I look at some companies that are just ignoring all of these things. And I think you're not going to have anyone who wants to work there for whatever price.
Correct.
At some point. And, you know, we're sitting here October of 2019 with a 3.5% unemployment rate. And if you're downloading this episode 10 years in the future, you're like, what, 3.5% on what? No, but you know, the challenge right now is if you're not becoming, you know, the preferred workplace for the most talented people in your market or your sector or your industry or whatever, like you're going to lose. So it isn't just, like I said, the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do because you're going to get the best employees because the best employees are the people who you're describing, you know, like your leadership.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I can't advocate for that enough. Just, you know, sometimes doing the right thing and doing the financially smart thing, sometimes it's the same thing.
It is. And how lucky are we right now that doing the right thing and having a positive financial impact, like they're one and the same, like that is a huge silver lining to everything that's happening right now.
Yeah. It's been very different in the past. Yeah. Yeah.
It has. It really has. So, you know, that's why I'm feeling really good about, you know, internal and employee communications. I don't think it's what it was 5 or 10 years ago, where you're just trying to align people behind a strategy and a vision.
Yeah.
I think it's, or save
the company from lawsuits. That was
exactly
the strategy 10 years ago, I think. Right.
Exactly. Now it's really, you know, being a facilitator of creating a culture, that's super meaningful for employees and attracts the right talent, the right partnerships, the right customers, you know, and really increases your license to operate in, you know, countries and communities.
Mm-hmm. Many cultures. Excellent. We're going to pause right there for just a moment and be back with some final thoughts and contact information. But first, this episode of Social Geek is brought to you by The Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at TheBetterSoftwareCompany.com. That's TheBetterSoftwareCompany.com. Gabby Nelson of Cargill, thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure catching up and learning a lot more about internal communications. If our listeners have some questions for you, they'd like to learn a little bit more about internal communications or maybe some things going on at Cargill, where can we reach out to you?
Well, and thank you. This has been wonderful. So I would say, you know, LinkedIn would be great for me. So please feel free to find me on LinkedIn, DM me if you have questions. Would be very open to hearing from you. As far as Cargill is concerned, you know, follow our social channels. There's lots of good stuff there. You know, talk to a Cargill employee. There are a gazillion of us out there, obviously. And I would say, you know, there's some really good stuff coming out of Reagan, out of Deloitte, out of, mm-hmm. you know, some of it out of Arthur Page. Like, read that stuff. It's really compelling and it actually is quite heartening. So I would dig into that as well.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to post some links to those places on the Social Geek site too, to make it nice and easy for everybody to find some of your favorite sources.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Gabby, thanks so much for joining and look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Thank you, Jack.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.